Well, greetings each of you by the very means of internet radio. You're tuned in to a live broadcast with the Six Eyes Radio Network and team. Amen. I am Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. We're coming to you live from the very beautiful city of Memphis, Tennessee. It is now raining where I am, and there's all kinds of things going on, and so I am running just to get here to be with you all today. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask Missionary Ken just to step in for a quick moment with a audio announcement of the program in the name of Jesus. Missionary Ken. Oh, well, while we get that together, well, I hope you all have had a wonderful time. We're in the very month of December. December is the Christmas celebration time. Now the world celebrates Christmas with Santa Claus and all of those things, but we as believers, we celebrate this season because it is the season where we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We celebrate because he has been good to us, he is good to us, and he is good for us. And whether or not you realize the true blessing of this season is God gave us a gift in the person of Jesus Christ. And that gift came by way to bring salvation to the whole world. Our father Adam lost the right to govern, but Christ gained it back on our behalf. So we can take full authority of our life and the things surrounding our life. Our world is in chaos today, but I'm reminded of the scripture that says to us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. That's a process. Amen. And speaking of process, the emphasis for this month that you will be hearing me speaking on is the reminder. It's for us to remember there is a process. There is a process. There's a process to everything that we do in life. There's a process to salvation. There's a process for elevation. There's a process for family. There is a process, and we all are charged with that process. And as we go through the process, we'll find ourselves finding the things that God will have for us in this world. So don't abort the process. Amen, somebody. Do not abort the process. A cake would not be a cake that you want to eat and enjoy if midway, before it's finished firming up and getting fluffy, you pull it out the oven too soon. That would be a cake that you would not want to eat, I guarantee you. It's so amazing. The cake mix itself may be good, may be wonderful, may be something that you want to lick the spoon or the whipper that whipped up the batter. You may want to enjoy that thing, but if you want that cake, it has to endure the heat of the oven for a set time until it is ready. Amen. For right consumption, so you can put that frosting on. And even if as it come out the oven, you got to allow it to cool down. You got to allow it to cool down so that in its cooling, once it's cooled down, the icing can go on it. Because if you put the icing on it too soon, it's going to melt the icing right back off. So there's a process to everything that we do in life. You want to be successful in sports? There's a process called rehearsal, practices. that you got to go through. You have to learn the place. You have to learn what to do. You have to learn the position. And then you have to be diligent in your practice, amen, in order to win. And then the process on that is working together as a team so that you can win. Part of our problems today in the world is we oftentimes don't want to work together because everybody wants the credit. Too many of us want the credit for this and that, and so we don't take time to work together. Just imagine if the world truly worked together, that it wouldn't be no hunger. World hunger would disappear in a moment, in an instant, if we all work together for that common goal. There's enough food in our world today for all of us to enjoy food. Now, I heard this a long time ago, and I kind of believe that this is true. Now, today it's more than 7.5 billion people. I think it's probably like 7.7 billion now on the planet recorded. Amen. But there's enough finances in the world today that if everyone will work together, guess what? We all could be millionaires. That's right. Because there's enough wealth in the earth to support the needs of everybody. The problem is we won't work together. We won't go through the process of communicating one with another, their needs, our needs, and to find somebody wants to be on top. And that person who always wants to be on top desired that, looking down. But only God should be looking down on us because he's the only one sitting in heavenly places. Amen and amen. Well, we're going on with our program. Once again, you are tuned in to the 6 Hours Gospel Show where you get your praise on without leaving the house.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by 6 Eyes Radio.
Amen. Amen. Well, Missionary Ken, God bless you on this evening. This afternoon. How you doing? Is it dry up there in Ohio? Memphis just started pouring down, like the sky just opened up.
Right now we're dry, but we're going to have a gale warning that's going to happen. It's going to go on till tomorrow.
Oh, thank you, Sister Ruth. Amen. Amen. It's sure enough pouring down. As I was coming in, rushing back in from Somerville, I had to be careful because it was already starting to drizzle. And as I was jumping out to come inside here so I can get the program going, it just started raining buckets on top of me. Amen. Brother Six, how you doing this evening? Think I have your line open. It is now.
I am great. Switch up today. I did not make a pot of coffee. I don't know if I'll make a pot of coffee today. I am having popcorn and ginger ale.
All right. Popcorn and ginger ale. Well, I definitely love popcorn. I bought me a new popcorn popper. It spins it around. And so
you know what? I bought one of those. I bought one of those, and I wish they would make the bowl metal. I wish they would make the bowl metal and kind of, like, let it cool, because my bowl cracked. I threw that thing away. But on a bracket,
what they should have is where you can buy replacement bowls. That will help you. Mama Sanford, how you doing on this evening?
Hey, everybody.
Take yourself off mute, Mama. I know you're talking away. You got to take yourself off mute.
Amen. Well, we want to say hello
Amen.
To everyone.
Hello.
We're getting ready.
Yes, you
hey, Mama Sanford. God bless you.
Hi, Mama.
Hi, everybody. God bless us all. We
Amen.
Are so blessed to be here to communicate with each other on this day. We are so blessed.
Amen. Amen. And it's definitely
Amen.
A pleasure to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I appreciate those that have came before us. And I guess the older I get, the more I begin to appreciate that, because I realize how much I pour out to other people that are younger than me, that
yes, sir.
Maybe even my same age or around about. And I realize once you get about 60 years old or older, you have spent a lot of your life helping other people, most of us.
That's good.
Especially if you're not a selfish person. And so their success is partly because of your sowing into their lives either some wisdom, some direction, some information that they need so that they don't have to struggle so hard. So I thank God for those that came before us that paid the way. Amen.
Amen.
We're blessed to be in America where we have the liberty to serve God like our heart desires. Amen. And
Amen.
We can serve him according to his written word. And so I'm so glad that we're in a country where the Bible is not banned.
Amen.
But if we're not careful, we elect people in office that are trying to do away with the Bible. Somebody told me, I think it was at the point where the pandemic was coming around in 2019, that there was a proposal there in California, them trying to ban the Bible. I said, what kind of foolishness is this? If you ban the Bible, you have to take away part of the Constitution. You can't do that. But that's how our world is today. So they are so focused on trying to separate themselves from God, when to separate yourself from God is like trying to not breathe. And that's the foolishness of it. You know, we need air to breathe. We need the land, the ground to walk on. If the foundation removed, we'd just float around. We would never go nowhere. If the air stopped,
Amen.
We wouldn't be nowhere. We all die. So we need the presence of the Lord. He is very creation itself. And without him, there's nothing that we can truly do that he does not give us permission to do or allow us to do so. We need the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Missionary Ken, are you on the line, sir? God bless you.
Yes, I am.
There he is. Man of God, let's go ahead and start the program. If you'll open us up in the word of prayer so we can go forward with the rest of the program. Are you doing well?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Let God use you.
Amen. All right. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. In you, we have a definite different way. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time. We ask you, Lord Jesus, now that you touch this program. Let something we say or do be honored and glorified to your name. And especially, Lord Jesus, let it touch that soul who is nearest hell. Let them build a real the way flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if I shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let them have this day to be their day, Lord Jesus. Let them get in contact with us so we could rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing. And do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask for those who are dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, right now. First off, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them, Lord Jesus, and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19 as we speak, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations that we read about in the newspapers, hear on the television, read, and hear also on the radio sets, Lord Jesus. You got mail because, Lord Jesus, we need to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, we turn this program over to you, and we give it to your honor and your glory, for we ask all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Thank you so very much. Sister Ruth, do you have a scripture reading for us this morning?
I think you're going to like this one. This is the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and escheweth evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and... Oh, wait. I thought I lost it. Sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that thy sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan, then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and thou walking up and down in it? The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hint about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Or said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, but not for thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord.
Okay, and where was that again, Ruth?
The book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12.
Amen. May God bless the hearing, the reading, and the doing of his most precious word. Amen. Job, a perfect and upright man. He is the example that, yes, you can be perfect. The word perfect here does not mean flawless. It doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. The word perfect here means mature. And to be mature in God, to be mature in your faith towards God. So he was perfect. And what made him right was his faith was in God. His trust was in the Lord, not his riches, but in him. So thank you, Sister Ruth. That is a wonderful scripture reading for us on this morning. It is something that if I didn't have a prepared message, I could preach from right there from where you took us. So thank you so very, very much. Amen. And now we're going on. Brother Six, if you would, sir, we have some wonderful contributors that's been contributing to this wonderful program. And if you take time now, maybe there's some listeners out now that's listening that would like to be a supporter to the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Would you offer them that information and how that they can get podcasts to the Six Eyes Radio Network 24 hours a day?
I sure will, Pastor. Thank you. If you would like to make a contribution to the Six Eyes Radio Network, you have two options. For those of you who use the PayPal platform, the email address you're going to enter is 6i6, that is S-I-X, at gmail.com. Once again, that is S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming will be greatly appreciated. The second option is Cash App. If you use the Cash App, that would be $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 2, the digit number 4. Once again, for the Cash App users, that is S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 2, the digit number 4. And again, whatever God puts on your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming will be greatly appreciated. Now, to enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network, wherever you are, washing dishes, taking a bath, just relaxing in your home, in the car, on your smartphone, you go to your podcast section, and when you press podcast, you'll go to search and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space R-A-D-I-O. And when you press the search at the top right corner, you will press subscribe. You'll know you're there because it'll start off with Motivational Monday, and you'll see our logo. So once again, go to your podcast portion of your phone, type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space R-A-D-I-O. And at the top right corner, press subscribe, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network whenever you want it. You don't have to have Six Eyes Gospel on just Sunday. You can have it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, you get the point. Happy holidays from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Amen. Amen.
Hello, Pastor.
Hello,
Bonnie.
I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Hi, I'm a Christian.
And I'm a Christian too.
You know, in order to influence the world, we have to learn how to connect with.
Oh, that's great. You know, I can connect. I'm bilingual.
Wow, you speak two languages.
Yeah, I speak English and Christianese.
Chinese, that's cool.
No, not Chinese, Christianese.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
That's because they don't teach it in school.
Huh. Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell. Can you give me an example?
Well, I'd love to, but in order to show you how, I'd have to have someone here.
Well, that's great. Meet my friend Lauren.
You brought a friend.
Yeah.
That's great. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Too.
You need to get saved.
Saved from what?
All right. What I'm trying to say is you need to be born again.
So are you talking about like reincarnation or?
Look, if you don't get saved, or if you're not born again, look, you basically, you just have to turn or burn, okay? Turn or burn.
Look, what my friend's trying to say is Jesus wants to have a real relationship with you and be a part of your life.
Oh, I get it.
See? I told you everyone understood Christianese.
Lord. That's what I kept on saying not too long ago. It seems like I was living in the darkest hole. My sadness and my anger start to take control. I had a lot of stuff weighing on me, y'all. I shed a lot of tears that you didn't see, no. But I couldn't let grief consume me, 'cause I got a little girl depending on me. It can't rain forever, the sun's gotta shine again. I remember that old saying, so I kept praying, and you should do the same, my friend. I stay prayed up, that gets me by.
Why me, Lord?
Why me?
How am I supposed to raise these kids alone?
Kids alone.
I do the best I can to keep a happy home.
Happy home.
It's hard to do it now, my better half is gone.
Gone.
Got a lot of eyes looking at Leo. Judging every move that I'm making, y'all. I'm just trying to do the best that I can.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard 'cause I'm just an ordinary man. So I just keep on praying, and you should do the same, my friend.
I say
wait up,
now that gets me by.
That's how I made it through my darkest time.
My darkest time.
Yeah, I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
And there's no lie.
And there is no lie, my friend.
Next track is for all of those that are going through right now. I want you to know, don't give up, don't give in. You are victorious. You will win. This is by Ty Trivia and Donnie McKirkland. We are victorious.
We are victorious. We are victorious. Nothing can conquer. We are victorious.
We are victorious. We are victorious. Nothing can conquer us. We are victorious.
Yeah.
We are victorious.
If you're victorious, put your hands together. One, two, one, two, three.
that means he makes me win.
Yeah.
So that means
victory in your life, that's a process. So today I want to bring a topic called Be Mindful, There Is a Process. Be mindful, there is a process. To all of you that have your Bible, I want you to follow along with me in the scriptures. So let's turn to the book of Philippians. Amen. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is writing to them in Philippi, and he's writing to the believers, the new converts, and he's talking to them, and he's giving some sound instructions, and I think it is something that we today can build upon. Amen. Again, that's Philippians chapter 4. We want to put our focus around verses 6 through 9. I don't think I'm going to have time to share all of this today, but what I can share, I will continue to share within the time that's allotted. Amen. So we're going to take our time and walk through the scripture. We're not going to rush it, because if we need to do a part two, guess what? We will do a part two. If we need a part three, it will be a part three. But we want to get all that God has for us in this understanding for us to be mindful there is a process. So in the book of Philippians, New Testament, chapter 4 of Philippians, we see at verse 6, and this is the New King James. It says, be anxious for nothing. How many things? No thing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, how many things? Everything. That's all of it. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Father God, as we journey together in your word today, we pray that you will give us proper understanding, that as we put this to practice, as we step out by faith to stand on your word, that it would deliver to us what we need to be better individuals, what we need to grow, what we need to help others to know you, not just as Savior, but also as Lord. All of these things we pray, Heavenly Father, in your darling Son's name. Amen and amen. Once again, the concept of being mindful. Being mindful, that's telling us to take thought, to remember, to consider. So we have to consider that there is a process. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that for everything under the sun, there is a time and a season. And so since there's a time and season for everything under the heaven, then we have to understand that there's a process, because if there's a time to be born, then there's a time of hooking up, coming together as one, planting a seed in fertile ground, producing over a period of time life. Mm. Amen, somebody. And as we produce that life has a process of development while it's in the womb. For the natural seed, it's called germination. Amen, that where that seed is actually developing and is doing all it can to do to break through the ground. It's amazing that how when it's time for a child to be born, yes, that mother must push. Yes, there's some pain involved, but that baby just don't sit there in the womb because they know it's a time for them to come out. They've been in there long enough, and all of a sudden the water break and pressure begin to happen and labor pains begin to happen, and there's a process to the delivery. Amen, somebody. And even after the delivery, there's a process of development for the life of that child. And so what I'm saying to us today, if the word says here from the King James Version, it says be careful. That word careful is the word anxious. Amen, somebody. Amen. It means to be anxious, to be troubled with cares. So God's saying be careful for nothing. In other words, be anxious for nothing. Don't allow something to get you in a hurry. That word anxious is the experiencing of worrying, unease, or nervous about an immediate event, impending event, something that's about to happen. You get anxious. You either get excited or you get fearful about something that's just about to take place because of the lack of information on how it's going to turn out, whether it's going to turn out good or whether it's going to turn out not so good. And so you get anxious and you begin to rush things. Sometimes in my messages, I get a little anxious because I get a little too excited about the end of it. And I almost jump to the end. But somebody say there's a need. There is a process. Amen. In order for me to get you to understand my points, I got to go through the process of lining them up one by one. I can't just read the beginning and go straight to the end. Then there's no process. There's no understanding. Standing, then you have no victory. You have nothing to celebrate. You have nothing, no benefit. And jumping straight to the end, bypassing all that with it that's required for the middle. Oftentimes, we want things in life and we want it. You know, they have a commercial about annuities and money being stored up for a later time. And the commercial said, it's my money and I want it now. And all of the characters there, they're bypassing the reason why the money was structured for a later time, because they knew maybe right now you're not in the right position to manage the money. Maybe right now you're not in the best position to utilize those funds for the purpose in which it was intended for you. So to have it now may cause more pain, more trouble, and cause you to miss out on blessings that was designed to happen later on. Oftentimes we want God to hurry up. But the sad part about that is he can't get us to hurry up. I'm going to say it one more time so it'll ring in our ears. Oftentimes we want God to hurry up. But the sad part about that is too many times he can't get us, believers, to hurry up. And those that said that, they are born again believers. We drag our feet when it comes down to doing kingdom work. We drag our feet when it comes down to fulfilling the role or the duty that God has for us in this world. One thing about purpose is we have to fully understand that God don't just make something just for the sake of making it. In other words, God, as beautiful as flowers are, and there are varieties of flowers that are lovely in their own fashion based on their type. And as beautiful as they are, God didn't make them for their beauty. But he made them, and that's why they're beautiful. But he didn't make them just for beauty. They was to brighten up somebody's day. They was to brighten up this world. They was to add to certain species. There are certain plants that only comes in certain colors, and only certain creatures are drawn to it because those creatures can only see in that spectrum of light, only those two or three colors that they are able to process, scientists have said. And so they're drawn to it because those colors are attracted to them because they can see them in that color. So some things have purpose and meaning, and only God knows. He knows the purpose and meaning for each of us. And some of our issues, and one of our greatest issues, is that we're still fighting this identity crisis. I'm going to say it again. We're still fighting this identity crisis. So oftentimes, we get caught up with trying to prove who we are, or trying to determine who we are going to be, or who we say we are. And we get into this tailspin where we're trying to prove to others that we can do this and we're that, and we're just as efficient as others. Identity crisis. But when you know who you are in God, it lessens that fight. I ain't gonna say it completely disappears, because every now and then the best of us can be caught off guard. Oh yeah. I found myself having to repent earlier today. Yes, just today. Because I felt like I was being pushed, and I pushed back, not physically. We're talking about just words. We're talking about statement of standing, and so sometimes You feel intimidated by actions of others. And when you forget who you are, it's easy to begin to swing for the fences. In other words, you're not trying to understand their point of view. You're not even being inquisitive or inquiring about their point of view, why they feel what they feel, or why they see what they see, or why they're saying what they're saying. You instantly begin to defend your position. The time that happens to us, and I'm not saying we're bad people when we do that. I'm not saying nothing bad about us. I'm just saying sometimes the enemy can push us past the point. You ever been driving down the road and you know you're supposed to turn on Market and you got down to Main? You're like, uh-oh, now I got to turn. It's not that you're a bad driver, but something distracted you. Something caused you to look another way or to miss your turn, and the only thing that you can do now is recognize that you missed your turn and turn around. But the hardest thing for us many times, based on the event, based on what took place, the hardest thing for us is to say, oops, I made a mistake. The hardest thing for us is to say to the individual, you know, I was out of line, or I was wrong, or I didn't understand. My apologies. I'm sorry for my remarks. I apologize for misunderstanding. Amen. And a lot of times that'd be the real issue, because we didn't go through the process of seek first to understand, second to be understood. But we instantly changed position. We wanted to be understood first. Then, after they understood us, then we'll try to understand them. And that's the fallout that we have at times. And so we have to be mindful that there is a process. But let me go back to the word anxious. So the scripture tells us here in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, somebody say everything. That means whatever your circumstance is, whatever the outcome is, whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're not understanding, whatever you do understand, whatever you have done, whatever you're trying to do, the Word of God is clear for us not to be anxious, not to look at this because of the uncertainty of the outcome, or waiting for something very much, typically, or feeling unease. He's telling us not to be uneased with the process of life. In other words, don't allow your circumstances to dictate your emotion status. Don't allow things to push you faster than you're able, and don't allow them to drag you back, causing you to miss what you need to see, or where you need to be, or what you need to do. So that process is, number one, don't be anxious. Don't get impatient. Don't start worrying. Don't allow these things to take place, because those things are designed to make us miss the mark. Amen, somebody. And so be anxious for nothing, but in everything, that's all things, in everything by prayer. Now let's deal with these next two words, prayer and supplication. Many of us, we feel we know what prayer is, but some of us may not quite understand supplication. So allow me to give a simple definition of supplication. Well, supplication is, and I stand S-U-P-P-L-I-C-A-T-I-O-N, supplication. Supplication is a form of prayer in which someone makes a humble petition or an entreating God. That means you're asking, almost like begging, you know, entreating God. Prayer, however, can be defined as a sincere thanksgiving. See, prayer is not just asking. A lot of us, when we go to prayer, we think prayer is just about asking God for things. But in actual reality, prayer is about communicating with God, the things of God, and the purpose of God for our lives. So we're, number one, we're showing gratitude in the prayer of who God is. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, we're taught to acknowledge him, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You haven't asked nothing yet. You're simply acknowledging him. You're simply giving praise to him, recognition to him. Oftentimes when we're praying, we forget to tell him thank you for what he's already done. And because we have allowed anxiousness, that sense of worriation to creep in, and so we go to God desperately. Lord, they're about to turn my light on. Lord, they told me they gonna evict me. Lord, they say I got cancer. And we go in that haste, not in faith, but actually in doubt, because we have allowed anxiousness to push us to uncertainty. And so we have missed the process of the prayer and supplication. Now, I got some more coming with it. So let me finish giving that illustration here for us. So prayer, however, can be defined as thanksgiving or a request made to God. In prayer, one can praise the power of God, the things of God, the deeds of the Lord, to acknowledge him for what he's already done. And so that's the difference between the prayer and supplication. Supplication is you're making a petition to the Lord humbly. In other words, you're not going to God demanding that he should do something, but you have humbly become before him as a son to his father to say, Dad, I've done some things that is quite not right. I need advice. I need to know what to do. Can you help me? Will you help me? And so to our Heavenly Father, when we come to him, we're coming to him humbly because he's already given us grace. And grace gives us opportunity to always come back before him. We can come before the presence of the Lord because of grace. Grace gives us the opportunity to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up again. And I use that word again because sometimes, you know, they used to say, God is a God of a second chance. No, God is a God of chances, because we have taken many chances with our lives. We've done many things contrary to the things that God wants us to do and what God has already told us to do. So we have to do it the right way. We have to come humble before the Lord as we make our petition. That's a request. That petition is something that's based on his written word, based on what he said. When you come humbly in prayer and supplication, you appealing to God, not based on, Lord, I deserve this, I deserve that. No, sir, no, ma'am. Not what you deserve, because if we got what we deserve, we would be in hell today. Many of us would be going through hell right now. So, no, it's not about what we think we deserve. And that's the way we have to correct ourselves. Get rid of that sense of entitlement that God owes you something because you think you are something or have done something. No, the best thing that we have done was accepted him. The best thing that we have done and the best thing that we can do is trust and obey him. Abram left home, left his kindred, to go to a place where God was going to show him, where he had never been before. He was 75 years old. Wife is 65 years old. They some old people. But yet, he believed God to move away from all that he knew, to follow God in a direction he did not know. He could not be anxious. Why? There was uncertainty because he didn't know where he was going. But he had to maintain a level of prayer and supplication. He had to inquire of the Lord. He had to stay on his face before the Lord and take God at his word. And upon taking God at his word, the Bible said, because he trusted God, it was counted unto him as righteousness. Because Ruth read the scripture today about Job trusting the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Job is the oldest book in the New Testament. I know we got Genesis and all of that, but it doesn't predate it in the age of the manuscript. And so here Job had an understanding on how to honor God, how to worship God. Job lists none of the Mosaic law, but he do list sacrificing unto the Lord, giving unto the Lord, serving the Lord, trusting the Lord. And we see that in the life of Job. Amen. And so it was counted to him as righteousness. When you trust God, I know you may think that you still have some things that you need to be delivered from and overcome. For righteousness for you and I is our total trust in him. It is when we put our whole trust in him, not in us, not in other people, but in him, as to what he is saying now, not yesterday, but now. So we have sought him for now because he's our daily bread. That word that he is, he's that daily bread, the word, that substance that we need to live by both physically and spiritually. And then we do this. This is how we build up our faith. It says, with thanksgiving. In other words, if you even brought an issue, somebody hated you on your job, talked about you on your job, they did some things allowing you to get you in trouble or this, that, and the other, and you're upset and you're going before the Lord, this understanding lets us know you can present those things to the Lord, but you got to have thanksgiving with it. And I know your mind just flooded. How am I thank God for my trouble? Well, did the trouble kill you? No. Then that's one reason to thank God for it. Did the trouble land you in jail? No. There's another reason to thank God for it. Did the trouble cause you to be lame, unable to walk, unable to have hands to utilize, to pick up and to move things? Did it lame you? Then you have something to thank God for. See, if we only look at the negative and we only focus on what was done, we often forget what wasn't done. What wasn't done, yes, I was in a car accident, but thank God my kids wasn't in the car, because that whole side is gone. They would have been sitting there. See, that's how we got to learn how to have thanksgiving, even in our prayers and our supplication. Amen, somebody. Now, let me keep moving. So, again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, how many things? Everything, all things, by prayer. In other words, this letting us know one more thing about the prayer. Prayer is not a one-directional conversation. It is a street with both ways. So it's not a one-way street. It's not that you just talking to God. It is you being quiet and listening to God. And so that's why we have to be mindful, because that mindfulness takes us to another place of meditation, thinking on things, trusting God. Amen. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, so let me slow down and come on back to verse 7. Just before verse 7, it said, let your request be made known. In other words, the Hebrew boys, the four Hebrew boys, actually, the three Hebrew boys that were thrown into the fiery furnace, was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Most of you all know them by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, these three Hebrew boys, teenagers, loved God to the point that they were able, along with Daniel, maintain their strict diet according to God outlined for their life. And that caused them to be elevated. But just like haters do, they're going to point out your faults. They're going to try to get others to look down on you. And a circumstance happened just like that with them, where they was exposed for not worshiping the king's image. The king had an image up, and they was told, the nation was told to worship that image, to give homage to that image. But the children of Israel knew, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. So they were standing on the principle, thou shalt have no other God before me. So they weren't going to bow down. And so when it was told and they were brought before the king, this when you know you saved, this when you know your Redeemer lives, this when you know for sure God got your back. The king said, is it true that y'all won't bow down to my image? And their response was something like this. King, we're not even trying to answer you easy. In other words, we're not trying to be careful in how we answer you. No, we're not going to bow down to your image. And the king said, well, what God going to deliver you out of my hand? And they said, king, know this. Our God will deliver us from your hand. But here's a solid conviction. Again, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known. Here's their request. They've already said it. Our God will do. They already made the decree. But here was their solid conviction. They said, oh, king, and if he don't do it, he still is able to do it. In other words, they cut across the red tape. They let the king know, you got power, but God is all powerful. Our God, you have authority, but my God gave authority. And so they made a decree to stand. They didn't try to fight, bound up and thrown into the fire. But because of their faith was unwavering, the men that threw them in was being burnt. It was probably at that moment when they realized, Hananiah probably said, "Man, say, hey, man, this fire ain't hot." He said, "Sure ain't. Man, that's going to help them, man. They're getting burned up. Let's walk on in this fight." King said, as he looked down into the pit, he said, "Did not we throw three fellas in there?" He said, "Yeah, King." He said, "Well, why do I see four? And they walking around in the fire." Unwavering faith. They wasn't anxious. They didn't know the certainty of their outcome. But they was firm in their conviction that God was able. Part of our prayer must be the supplication to know that God is able to answer how many things? All things. So I can take him what? Everything. I can take him everything in prayer. That goes on and reads, it says, after we make it known to God, in other words, after, oh, and part of that prayer, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. A part of the prayer is not just what you say, but it is the position and the place you're at. You're not in a place that's noisy and disruptive, but you're in a place where in your mind or in your home or on your job where he can hear. When talk about going into the secret place to pray, and that's a designated prayer area. The Bible said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So for many, getting to church house is their destination for that prayer so that they can make that supplication with thanksgiving, can make those requests so they can be thankful, so that they can put him in remembrance of his own word. Then, after saying what they needed to say, they listen. See, most of us, when we pray, we don't listen. And if I was talking to the mirror, you know, and I say, "Ooh, you look good," the mirror ain't going to say, "Yeah, you sure is looking good." Now, I might say it. So the very moment that I stop talking, the mirror stop talking, because the mirror is only reflecting what I'm doing. So it's really not talking at all. So there's really no voices. But if I'm talking to my wife, I'm standing before her, "Honey, how I look today? Is everything all right?" And she said, "Ooh, man, you fine. Look, turn around for me, fella. Yeah, you still got it all. Yeah, I like them shoulder blades. See, now I got a talk back. There's a conversation going on." What we got to understand is that's what God inquires of us, a conversation. Which of us want anybody to only come to us with, "Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme." None of us will want that. We may have the wherewithal to do that, But after a while, we're going to get tired of that. And we're going to ask the question, can you at least just show up anything? In fact, when was the last time you said thank you? That's how we're going to feel. That's how we're going to behave. So we have to be mindful to get to our destination. There's a process. There's a process of the starting point. There's a process of filling in the middle in order to get or reach the end. So we have to be mindful of that. So it says, and the peace of God, ooh-wee, and the peace of God. Now, most of us hear the peace of God and we think of Jehovah Shalom. But this peace is actually a state of natural tranquility. Amen. It is the peace between individuals that brings harmony of God. That means now that I'm in a conversation with God, I've let him know my request because I know he loved me and I've been thankful for what he's already done. I have the confidence that his response to me will be favorable to what is needed in my life at that moment. We go back to the last program when I pointed out to us Jeremiah 29:11, that God has thoughts that he thinks towards us. And those thoughts are good and not of evil, to give us a expected end. Well, here's the problem with that for us, not for him. For us, he said to give us an expected end, that means we must start somewhere. And we must go through the process to get to that desired a purposeful end. And we can't abort the process. So the peace of God, the way that leads to peace and salvation, that salvation is that deliverance from judgment, that deliverance from one's own self-inflicted wounds, deliverance from the burden of the world. So the peace of God leads to the peace or the salvation. That's the state of natural tranquility. There, as I stated earlier. And so to give us salvation, when you are saved, as a Christian, as a born-again believer of God, the peace of God should be with us always. Why? Because we're saved. I don't have to fear condemnation. Over in Romans, it tells us, therefore now there is no condemnation to them that walketh not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So condemnation only comes when I'm only me, tuning up for that song. Me. Lord, what about me? You ain't understanding me. Don't nobody understand me. Nobody feeling what I'm going through. When we break the cycle of me, then God is able to say, you're not by yourself. Remember, I said, I'm with you always to the end. So it's not you fighting the world by yourself. It's not you dealing with your domestic violence situation by yourself. It's not you dealing with that abuse situation by yourself. It's not you that's trying to overcome that drug addiction, alcoholism, or whatever it is that's plaguing your life. It's not you that's trying to, by yourself, trying to get away from prostitution. It's not you by yourself trying to break away from atheism. It's not you by yourself trying to break the chains of narcissism. It's not you by yourself trying to break the bonds of false religion. But he has promised to be with us, so we're saved. It's a process, too. Salvation is a process because it requires you to acknowledge him and repent and accept. Acknowledge, repent, accept. Acknowledge, repent, and accept. And it's so simple to people when they read it, they think it's too simple, so they don't do it. But it would seem to me that if it's just that simple, and I done tried all this other stuff that was hard, the least I can do is to try this. And that's going to be the only way we're going to know whether or not, for sure, it works for me. So step number one of us being mindful that there is a process is we must understand the word process. Step number one, we must understand process. A series of actions. A what? Series. You know, when you're watching your daytime shows or your nighttime programs, and there's a series for all of you that like Law and Order, the longest broadcasting on TV today. We like the series, multiple actions, multiple programming. So, the process is a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular, not anything, but a particular, something unique, a particular end. So you're not just trying to, many times we get in that, well, I'm just trying to do something. No. This is not Steinfeld. Now, to those of you that know the Steinfeld program, it was a wonderful, funny, hilarious show, but they never had a plot. The plots never carried on from week after week almost because there was no real series. It's amazing that it lasted as long as it did. One survey said that men was drawn to it because it had no plot. It just was an endless amount of comedy, laughter. But that's immaturity. That's us being immature when we just want to do something just to be doing something. That's to live life without purpose. There's purpose for your life. There's purpose for my life. We all are unique creation of God. Irregardless to how your mother and father came together, righteous or unrighteous, legal or illegal, the point is God allowed it to take place so that you will be here today in this time at this moment. But you are here to fulfill purpose in this time at this moment. And the only way you're going to fulfill that duty to be anxious, but to come before a holy God making a legal petition to this God as a law-abiding citizen of his kingdom. And humble yourself with thanksgiving. State the offense or the lack so that your king, your daddy, your source, can respond accordingly to the need that you simply addressed. I know the song says, I ain't too proud to beg, but you don't have to beg God. Because when you asked him, he gave this answer. Yes, I will. No, I won't. Wait. And so based on which one of those three you receive, well, Pastor, maybe I ain't hear nothing at all. Okay. Did you obey Matthew 7:7? Did you ask? Did you continue to seek? Did you even try knocking? Because if you knew that I had some money with your name on it, and it was some good money, some money that was going to pay off from your bills for the next 3-4 months. When you come to my home, you're not going to stand at the street and just call my name. I'm here. That's about it. Come out the house. I'm here. No, sir. No, ma'am. Mm-mm. No. You coming up the driveway. You're walking up the walkway. And you're going to come to the door. Matter of fact, most of you probably be on the phone with me saying, all right, Pastor Bonnie, I'm turning the corner now to the street where your house is. What color it is again? You're going to be checking with me all the way, making sure that you don't bypass my house because you don't want to knock on the wrong door. You want to make sure that the door that you knock on, the door that you press the doorbell on, or you want to make sure that you are reaching my door. And as you walk into the walkway, you say, hey, can you look out the window? Let me see you. Here I am. My hands are up. I'm waving. Don't let the dog out. But I'm coming up to the door now. And when you hang up the phone, if I don't come to the door, you know what you're going to do? You're going to start knocking. Why? Because I got something for you. And you know I have it because you just talked to me. So you're going to figure, maybe he thought it was going to take another minute. And you're going to continue to knock. Why? Because you heard something in response to let you know that I was going to grant your request. So you're going to continue to knock. Because you done asked. And you sought out by coming to where I was to get what you need. The problem with us is we don't go through that process of asking, speaking, and knocking. We figure, well, I ask, I ain't hearing nothing back, so not realizing prayer is about being in the right place. Because you praying to God about conditions in your life while you stuffing your face full of food watching Showtime, that ain't going to work. You praying, but you're still mad and hating on your brothers and your sisters around you because they're elevating in life financially and you're not. That's not going to work. That's not the right place for prayer. And until your mind is made up, ooh, my time is gone. Until your mind is made up to be in the right posture for prayer, we're going to continue to miss the process because the truth of the matter is We have aborted the process. So because we aborted the process, we can't get the benefit. We can't get the reward. Because we stopped paying the premium, so we can't do the free visits, dental visit twice a year. No, you ain't paid your premium. You haven't done the you haven't done what was required. Jesus paid it all to redeem your soul. But Jesus paid it all to redeem your soul. So your soul is redeemed. So he gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit to bring to pass your reason why he redeemed your soul. Well, I know it's deep, but it's right. And as I often said, I didn't come swinging at nobody. I didn't come throwing stones at nobody. But if by chance the words have hit you, truly I thank God that I did not miss you. And I'm thankful that it got you square in the forehead so that you would get down on your knees and truly seek the face of God and bind the spirit of worryation and anxiety. Anxiety is anxiousness. If God said, I take care of the flowers of the field, and I take care of them better than I took care of Solomon, how much more take care of us, whom he died for? So God will take care of us. So once again, step one, I must understand the process. To be mindful there is a process involves me understanding that for me and what I am going to or where I'm going or what I'm what I've been sent to do, there's a series of actions and steps that I must take in order to achieve this particular end. Because he's already promised for me to have one. Now, that's just the first two verses of 6 and 7. We have 8 and 9 in this lesson. And I'm telling you, it's going to be something. I don't know if the Lord going to allow me to share it tomorrow night or you'll just have to come back next Sunday and be a part of it. And it starts off with the word finally. That word finally usually means conclusion, finally. That means we're at the end. That means revelation is about to take place. And that means there's some understanding. I told you step one is to understand the word process, what it means to process. And how to go through the process through meditation. And so we're gonna see that in the next two verses. And just for your hearing, I'm gonna read them. I ain't gonna talk about none of them. I'm gonna just read them to whet your appetite. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever they already can, things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If conditional, there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things would ye have both learned and received and have heard and have seen in me do? That's why you need good leaders. And the God of peace shall be with you. There's a process to having the peace of God. I know a lot of times we are struggling and we're fighting with having that comfort to know that he's going to meet all of our needs, he's going to meet all of those things. And God is going to help us with our ambitions. But when the peace of God comes upon your life, you realize that the dreams that you have are bigger than you, so therefore they require God interaction through you, that God has to train us so that we can manage what he's put us in charge of. Because God never gives us what we ask. He only gives us what we truly can manage. The blessings of the Lord make us rich and add us no sorrow. So when your blessings start bringing trouble and sorrow to you, then it just might not have been from the Lord. It may have been your own doing or the work of the enemy to give you a false sense of security so that you have missed the true blessing that God has for you. So let's remember, let us be mindful. There is a process of what? To everything that I must do. There is a process. I want to thank you for joining us on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Today is First Sunday, and we normally have communion together. So if you're at your home, I'd like for you to go and get your saltine crackers off top of the refrigerator there or out your cabinet. Go and get you one or two of those. Amen. And go to your refrigerator and get you some whip. Amen. We do juice over here. I don't encourage you to drink wine because I don't know whether or not you have an addictive nature. Some people feel comfortable doing that. But we don't encourage that because we don't know what demons you're fighting. And far be it for us to lead you into one that will cause bondage to be in your life. Many people are still dealing with generational curses of alcoholism. Your daddy did it, your mama did it, your uncle did it, your brother did it, your sister did it. And so many people in your immediate family, your bloodline, was all plagued, or many of them had that issue with drugs. Especially if you were a child that was born from a parent who was a substance abuser. These things can be innate to you. In other words, they was passed on to you by the deeds of your parents. And we don't want you hating your parents. But we do believe that the Bible says, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And so being a new creature, you develop new habits. You develop new things to do that will be beneficial for your health and for your life. So I just was talking to give you time enough to get to your juice. And your, if you just got a regular slice of bread, go ahead and get you some. Amen. I'm going to read this for you, Henry. I'm in the book of Matthew chapter 25, and I want to read starting there at the 17th verse. I'm sorry, I said 25. I meant Matthew 26, excuse me, verse 17. Amen. Matthew 26, verse 17. Excuse me. Before your reading, before your hearing, and talking about what we're about to do is called communion. And that is one of the three ordinances of the church. The other two are water baptism and foot washing. But communion was instituted as a way to commemorate or to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to remember what he done with his disciples the night in which he was betrayed, the night in which his suffering all began. And so we do this in that same symbolic ritual as it would be as a remembrance. Amen. He says it's often as you do it. You can do this once a year. You can do it once a month. You can do it once a day. You can do it however God leads your heart. But when you do it, you do it, you first repent so that you come before God with repentant heart so that you're not looked at as one that's doing it time, any kind of thing other than to recognize what God has done, what Christ has done for us. So you repent and you remember his sacrifice. You remember what he went through. And some of you have heard me quote this scripture. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And so as we're remembering what he endured for us, sometimes during the communion, the Holy Spirit will move and stir up in the people's lives, and healing will take place. Health will, their poor health will be reversed, and they'll start feeling more healthier. Energy will return back to their body. Strength will return back to their life. Hope will return back to their life. Peace, joy, all of these things will begin to return back to their life. Why? Because you invoke the presence of Christ in your life. And so many people have been healed from this process of Holy Communion. But some did it with no concern and no sincerity, and in sin. And the Bible said those have been sick or found sick, and many have died because they've done it unworthy. So we don't want you to do it unworthy. Just take a moment. Say, Lord, here am I. You know me. All of my wrongdoings, I repent of them now. Anything that I've been doing consistently, Lord, that need to change, please reveal it. But I want to honor you today for the things that you have done for me already, that I may have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you. Amen. And that's a simple prayer, but I can't pray it for you. You have to pray it for yourself. I know I just prayed it, but I prayed it for me. You now have to pray it for yourself. Go ahead and take that bread and take that little juice. No matter if you got orange juice, get that. Now let me read this for your understanding. This is what took place. This is all about the Passover. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17 says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master said, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as he had, as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. I just want to point out for for those that watch television programs that come up with other stories trying to say there was more into that portrait than that scripture records. He sat down with the 12, not the 13, not any others. He sat down with the 12. Let me keep on. He sat down with the 12, and as they were eating, he said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me." And they was exceedingly sorrowful and began, every one of them, to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he said, and he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Take and eat your bread. Yeah. Glory to God. Verse 27. And he took the cup and he gave thanks. See, prayer in operation. Even Christ is demonstrating for us how he's thanking God in the process of what he's about to go through. And he gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new wine, not old, new with you in my Father's kingdom." And they had thrown to him, and he went out into the Mount of Olives. Go ahead and drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The song we sang in our churches, "I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me." Amen. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to open up the mics now. Many of you are still here with us. I want to say thank you for being a part of the program. We're getting ready to go into our bonus time now. And I'm not sure who all wants to speak, but I do want to make some takeaways. Amen. So if you're close to someone else, please be mindful. So that we don't have an echo on the line. Amen. Brother Charles, once again,
yes,
good afternoon, man of God. How you doing?
Afternoon, sir. I am great. I am great. How are you, Pastor?
Amen. I'm doing good. I know you and Mama Sanford are on the same line. And so I just want to know, did you enjoy the message? And if so, what stuck out for you on today, if anything?
Well, the takeaway, it's process, trust in the process. And it goes to show you I've never baked a cake because I did not know those steps. So thank you for that educational moment. I've never baked a cake. So now if I decide to bake a cake, if I bake a cake for Mama Six Eyes, I'll know what to do now.
Yeah, let it stay in there the whole time.
And I just like the analogies that you used, you know, the metaphors, the analogies that you used, you know, with the word process, you know, process. So basically the takeaway is trust the process and let God do what he's doing because he knows what he's doing. And, mm-hmm. and trust, because a lot of people don't trust. A lot of people don't trust. They ask God something, then they take it right back. They ask him, take it right back. He knows what you want before you ask for it. So he doesn't
have to
have a reminder. He knows. He knows. So, yes, yeah, so great message as always. Thank you.
Thank you. Sister Emily, I think I heard while we were playing the announcement or the commercials, your voice had came on. I think that I heard your voice earlier today, so I want to make it be known that I am saying hello, Sister Emily. God bless you, and I hope that the lesson today was good, that it blessed you, and I hope that you got something from it.
It was a very good lesson, Dad.
Thank you so very much. Anything stuck out to you today that kind of rung a bell with you?
The thing that stuck out with me was where you were talking about that no matter what you were going through, you always need to put your hand in God's.
I like that. Thank you. That's true. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. A second question for you.
Did I hear Mother Six out there today?
Yes, you did. You did hear her, so you can say hello to her.
Hi, Mama.
She may have her line muted.
Take yourself off mute. Take yourself off mute.
She is on the line. She is on the line.
Hello.
Hey, Mama, how are you?
I'm blessed, thank you. A wonderful service that we had.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Mother.
And just to let you know, when I'm done, I will be mailing you, having Ken mail you something for Mama.
Oh, thank you.
All right. That's good.
Yeah, I need to know where she comes from, too, because I have some plans for her for Christmas.
All right.
I tell you, we already in the season of giving. Amen. All right. Man, y'all just gave her new takeaways. Amen.
Yeah.
I almost don't want to ask her what a takeaway is. A takeaway is Ruth and Emily is sending me something. That's her takeaway.
got some gifts coming, Mama. Amen.
I hear it.
Amen.
And Mama,
I got a takeaway, but you just may not want
to
hear this.
With you on the line.
One mic. Unless we're singing a song, let us take one at a time. Amen.
Yeah, amen. So what we're going to do, Ruth, you go first. Say what you got to say to Mama, and then right after Ruth, Emily, you go. All right, go ahead, Ruth.
Okay.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know, sweetheart, that I want you to have a Merry Christmas, but I have this little plotting in my head that just hit me. I got little plans for you to get something to you somehow. I just got to mail it to you.
Oh, okay. Thank you much.
Not a problem.
All right. Ruth is complete. Emily, your turn. That's how we're going to do this. Your turn.
Six, you know what I sent you one time, right? The one picture I did.
Okay, Emily. See, here's the thing. When you're gonna send something to somebody, okay, I got you. Amen.
Yeah, but I'm gonna have it sent care of you, Six.
Amen.
Amen.
And
Amen.
We love you, Mama.
Amen.
Amen. And hello
Amen.
To my little niece, Tweety, and the rest of my siblings, my nieces, my nephews, my aunts, father, brother, sister in heaven. Hello.
I'm right here.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else like to give a takeaway Sister Ruth, I heard you earlier.
Just want to tell you what my opinion was by singing it.
Okay.
Okay, if you're ready.
We
Kenny
all
will
quiet.
Laugh when I sing this, okay, because Kenny has something to do with this song.
Okay.
Oh,
we're listening to you, Sister Ruth. We're listening to you.
Okay, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. And then the other part is consider the lilies and how they spin. You know, it's in the Bible. I wanted you to kind of hit me with it. Somebody might know where it's at. I'd have to look it up in my Strong's behind me. But it's consider the lilies, how they spin. In other words, don't worry about your even you. You're more important
that's
than sparrows. What is it, Ken? Oh, man,
Matthew,
Kenny says it's Matthew chapter 6. But I'm trying to tell you that, you know, I want to praise the Lord for everything, including everything he gives me, and what I try to do for him is nowhere near what he's done for me. So, you know, he's just precious, and so you come up with something that, you know, kind of goes with what you said.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen. If I may, I'm sorry, Pastor, if I may make an announcement, the Six Eyes Radio Network want to send our condolences to the Dole family. Senator Bob Dole died today at age 98. So on this December 5th, 2021, the Six Eyes Radio Network sends out its condolences to Senator Bob Dole, who passed away today at age 98. So condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Amen.
Yeah, we have another condolence. There was a gentleman that I knew at Asheville Pentecostal Church of God. His funeral is today at Asheville Pentecostal Church of God. Emily will know who I'm talking about, and we can't get there, so I'd like to send a card. I just got to get some information about this gentleman. His name is McKee, and he was a wonderful Bible teacher there, and it's sad that he's gone, but he's in heaven having a blast with Grandma, probably.
Amen.
All right.
Our condolences. And anybody, you know, the holiday is rough. You know, you got people that's passed away. You got empty tables, empty chairs, you know, going to have one more present that you even forgot that they've passed away that you're going to purchase. So we just want to just send condolences out and comfort to the families, you know, who may be dealing with a loved one that's first time not being here. So we want to thank you. And remember, they're with you because they're in your hearts. Remember that. And praying for the sick and shut in. And for these speed demons that wants to drive and outrace and outrun the cops, I have to say condolences to the two people who tried to outrun the cop and the car blew up when they ran into something. So those were two lives lost unnecessarily because they tried to outrun the cops. If you have any kind of parking tickets, you know, any kind of infractions on your license, it's not worth trying to outrun the police. It's not worth it because in this case, two people died trying to outrun the police. So we want to send out condolences to their families, an unnecessary event that didn't have to happen. Just try to make sure you have your license together, have your proper insurance so you can operate the vehicle without having to duck and hide from the cops and outrun them because you can't win.
Nope.
So I just want to put that out there. Yeah. I just want to put that out there. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I said you can't beat the radio. So no, you can't beat it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We're definitely still praying for those there. I think that was Michigan.
The four students that got killed. Yes.
Yeah. It was three, but the fourth one ended up dying. Seven of them were hurt, and so we want to definitely send our condolences to them and their families, that school district, because something happened like that. That's devastating.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, it is. And we have a great listenership in Michigan. So from the Six Eyes Radio Network, we just want to send out prayers, condolences of comfort for the families at this difficult time. And we just pray that, you know, pray for comfort and hold on to the memories, you know, all those short, because those kids never got to reach their potential. You know, you never knew what they were going to become. Great leaders, you know, men and women, you know, who life was cut down. So we just want to stop this senseless violence that's going on. And check in with your mental health. You know, check in with your mental health. That's why I always loved growing up in the Sanford household. We sat and we actually had conversations. You know, hey, son, how was your day? Hey, dad, how was your day? You know, what happened today? You know, sister, brother, how was y'all day? What happened? What was the, we always ask, what was the exciting part of the day? You know, and, you know, it was some good stories, you know. So that's what we have to get back to. I mean, nowadays you have people in the same household texting each other. They're in the same room, but they're texting each other. You got people yeah. eating in all parts of the house. You got people on the roof eating. You got people in this room eating, that room eating. You know, nobody comes together and eat no more. So this is why you don't know what's going on in the mind, you know, of these kids that are going to school. You don't know if they're getting bullied. You don't know what's going on. You know, if they're taking their lunch money. So this is where you have to check in with little Timmy and little Susan. Hey, what's going on? You know, how's school? Is anybody bothering you? Are you being bullied? You know, the counselors have to get back out there, because the counselors have kind of became like stuffed in the gym where they keep all the equipment. It's like they're stuffed away in there somewhere. They're not even visible. So we got to get those counselors back out there and talk to these students and see what's going on, and then we can prevent, you know, such happenings.
Yes, you're right. And one other thing, that element that is definitely needed to be back in our home, they may have taken prayer out the school by way of teachers or those of administrators. But to all of mm-hmm. our students, you have the full right to pray in school, because you are in there. It's your right. So you can start up your own prayer group and pray amongst yourself, and it is protected by law. So they can't stop you.
I didn't know
that. Yes, you can pray, because you're the student. The administration cannot force prayer. But you can pray. So you have that right to pray. It is everyone anywhere have the right to pray. It's part of your freedom of speech. They cannot take that from you. And all prayer don't have to be out loud. And so if you have study hall, so long as you're not being disrupted mm-hmm. to the program or causing others to be not be able to complete their curriculum, you have the right to pray. And so we all
Amen.
Have the right. When they give you your 15-minute break on your job, you can go and sit down in the break room and pray.
Mm-hmm.
They can't tell you you can't pray there. And they can't trouble you for praying, because it's your right. Those of the Islam faith that must pray several times a day facing Mecca, because it is their culture. I had a pharmacist when I was still with the pharmaceutical company that if she was the fill-in pharmacist, she was a fill-in for the pharmacist when they wanted vacation, this, that, the other. But if it came, when it was time for her to pray, she stopped and did her prayer. She had a rug with her, did her prayer, went back to work. And she was allotted that time because it is a part of her faith. And You know, we can pray. The problem is,
amen,
the believers, those that are called Christians, we've stopped praying. They may have closed, and by now most all churches should be back open. But at one point they may have closed the doors, especially to the mega churches, because of this, that, and the other. But like never before, the need for prayer in our nation is needed, and we must continue. The 18th is a national day of prayer of December. So for those that do believe in prayer, we want y'all to be praying. Amen. I heard another voice. Yeah. There. You got a takeaway? You got some comment?
Go ahead. Somebody? I don't know. I don't know if you got something to say. I'll be brief. Okay, so as you know, school is still in session right now, and it's getting dark. You know, it's dark when the kids leave out for school. It's getting dark, so please, kids, parents, make sure you remind your kids to charge up their cell phones before they go to bed, because a lot of kids forget to charge their cell phones up, and we already had a tragic incident with Ariana DeFree getting ready to go to school. She was kidnapped, mutilated, and killed in an abandoned house. And hey, I just spoke with my friend the other day, and I'm glad they got cameras on the bus now. They got cameras on public transportation. But this high school student was basically, how can we say it? Young man was sitting in the chair with her, and let's just say he was acting inappropriate. I mean, every time she tried to get up, because she was in the seat by the window, and every time she tried to get up to get past him, well, you can kind of see where I'm going with this. He would stand up, and he wouldn't let her out, basically, you know. So she finally brushed past them and got out. Then he proceeds to get off the bus and follow her. So he was trying to abduct her, and he was being inappropriate on the bus. This is when, you know, somebody should have seen something. I mean, it's like everybody on that bus was blind and didn't see anything, but they could see.
Uh-huh.
You know? So we just got to be careful. We want the kids to get an education, but if they can't even have a safe transportation to get to where they're going without all this inappropriateness happening, I mean, somebody, they need to have some type of transit police sit on the bus with them. Because if the passengers are not going to say nothing, if the passengers are not going to say anything, then they need to have those cops there. And also for the fathers who are able to be out there with the kids, be out there so we can cut down on these tragedies happening. I mean, the kids need to get an education. They have a right to education with not having to worry about if they're going to get to school safely and return safely. Because right now it's fall time, so it's extremely dark when they leave. So we just want to ask for a prayer for that, and hopefully can get a group of men to be vigilant out there and walk, or at least be out there. You know, they see a male presence, you can kind of cut down on these, you know, abductions. So I just want to put that out there on the Six Eyes Radio Network, because we care. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We do care. And we have to, you know, we got to get away from teaching our kids the lie, snitches get stitches, okay? Let me be clear on that. A snitch is someone who was doing something and only told for their own safety. Yes, that's a snitch. I snitched on you to lessen my troubles. That's a snitch. I used to tell it all the time. I say, listen, I don't snitch, I tell. My job is this, and if you violate, I'm going to let somebody know. Why? Because that's my job. I love my community. If you bring the wrong environment here, I'm going to tell. If the question is asked, I'm going to tell. And so I think we have to have the proper perspective, because you can't criticize the police and then expect for them to give you maximum support. I mean, how would you feel that if you had to go to work in an area where people are being taught to fear you? Once upon a time, kids was taught to go, if you got lost or misplaced, to look for the police, to look for an officer in uniform.
Yeah, front of the men and women in blue.
And all of a sudden, now you got them running from the police because of certain bad police. Well, in everything in life, there are good and bad people. And so we can't allow the few bad criticize the whole institution. Yes, there may be some reforms that need to be made, some corrections, some more modern training. All of that is good. But what would life be like if you had to police yourself only? It would be hard for some.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't throw away our men and women in blue. It's needful that we pray for them, our first responders as well, because many times they have to come in and there's an active shooter, but they're trying to preserve life. So we have to pray for these people who get out and put their life on the line, firefighters who go into the burning building to save your life. We need mm-hmm. to pray for these people, keep these people in prayer for safety, that God will keep them safe.
Amen.
And
amen.
And render support to them. Amen. So let's just get away from foolishness and start being a community. There's nothing wrong with the word hood, because it goes to neighborhood. And so, but the hood, you can be on Fifth Avenue and there's a hood. Well, you can be in Malibu and there's a hood. So the hood is your neighborhood. But if you're not going to be neighborhood,
correct,
then you're going to allow all kinds of other things happen to your neighborhood. The problem is,
yeah,
we have
one thing,
allowed so much to happen. So once you have allowed so much chaos, it's hard to go back, especially when you part of it. You know, if you want change, you have to change.
If you want change, you got to be the change.
Amen.
You got to be the change. And also, you know, take pride in your neighborhood, because people will walk over a cup, a bag, not pick it up. If you don't care about your neighborhood, you know, other people riding through, they're not going to care. You know, so you got to take pride wherever you live. And also,
yeah,
we're not out the
don't
woods yet. Yeah, we're not out the woods. Amen. We're not out the woods yet. So we have a new variant of this coronavirus called the Omicron.
Yeah,
so from the
I told you last
radio
week,
network,
somebody said unicorn, they mispronounced it. And I'm like, I know that ain't
yes.
the name. It can't be the name.
Yeah, it's Omicron. It's Omicron.
Okay.
So we want you to continue to practice your social distancing. Continue to wear your mask. Continue to wash your hands. Continue to practice social distancing. Now, you can get a 100-box mask for $5. At your drugstores, your Walmarts, disposable, and just have those on deck. You know, make sure you have your Lysol, you have your bleach, your microband, wipe down your common areas, wipe down your cell phones, continue to practice social distancing, wear your mask, wash your hands, take your vitamins, you know, and we want you to be safe. It's Omicron. Not unicorn, Omicron. And I think I know who pronounced that wrong, too. I know
well,
what you're talking about.
I understand. I said, it can't be unicorn. I said, man, that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Anyway.
But that didn't,
you know,
that didn't mess his name up.
In your mother's generation, they brought us up. The very things that we are, that the CDC is telling people to do, the common things, we were brought up, wash your hands, don't put your hand in your face. We were brought up
mm-hmm.
with certain cleanliness activities. Oh, keep your house clean.
Yeah.
Wipe it down. You know, open up the windows. Let the sunlight in, because the UV rays kill certain microbiology, microscopic
organisms. Yeah.
And organisms. Mm-hmm. And so we were taught this stuff back in the day. That was the conversation every spring. Everybody that was on that teacher, it was no it. In my mama house, there was no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We were cleaning window panes and baseboards, and dishes were being washed on a daily basis, and beds were being made up on a daily basis. The house was being kept, even though we came up in some subsidized living at times. And but we was taught to be thankful for what we had, and
right.
That to honor God was to be appreciative of what He gave us. So our clothes was always clean, ironed. We knew how to iron. We knew how to wash clothes. We knew how to hang them up on the line. We knew how to clean. We knew how to cook. Amen. My mom said, "I'm not raising no sorry." I ain't gonna repeat the word, but she said, "I'm not raising no sorry kids. I'm not raising no sorry men. You're not gonna be dependent on others when you could do for yourself." And so we had a good teaching, and grandmama and them didn't play about that cleanliness. They, as a matter of fact, if you got caught in the rain when you walked in the house, there was a spoon, not the teaspoon, the tablespoon, big spoon, a casserole waiting for
casserole.
Your mouth.
Yeah.
We stayed regular.
Yep.
We didn't have it wasn't until 92 when I had my back injury and they put me on some medication. I didn't even know what that word constipation was. I had no idea until that
Amen.
That medicine that they gave me. Caused me some great pain. I said I'd rather deal with the back pain. I said, "I ain't taking this stuff." They said, "You got to take it." I said, "No, I don't. Bump that. I'd rather hurt. I'd rather for my
Amen.
Back to hurt." So anyway, but nevertheless, we grew up with these training. Now it's like everybody like, "Why we got to do all of that?" Man, come on. Really? You were taught growing up, if you had to cough or sneeze, to sneeze either in your hand. Later on, they stopped telling you to do it in your elbow, because if you sneeze in your hand, you're going to touch everything. You'll spread it. So stop sneezing in your hand, sneeze in your elbow. And so we were taught a lot of this stuff growing up. It just for whatever reason. People pulled away from just doing common stuff. You go to the bathroom, wash your hands before you come out. I mean, I'm saying if you went to the bathroom and you didn't wash your hand coming out, we talked about you. You nasty.
Let me tell you what I do. I'm going to jump you a little bit, and then I'm going to let Wolfgang get ready because he's been quiet. So I'm going to tell you what I do. Now, I've already kept my bathroom is already clean. Because even after I finish, you know, my shower, you know, the bathroom's back clean. It's hotel clean. That's how clean it is. And what I do is I dry the sink out. I dry it out. I turn the soap dispenser one way. I turn it. It all depends. I might have it facing the wall. Might have it facing right and left, the spout. And I got the sink bone dry. I got the sink bone dry. So I can tell if I go in there and I got that spout pointed toward the wall, I got it pointed left, I got it pointed right. And if I touch that sink and it's bone dry, you wash your hands. Oh, yeah. You did? You sure you washed your hands? Yeah. Would you like to make a $20 bet on that? What you mean I wash my hands? You sure you wash your hands? Yeah. Okay. Then why is the spout still at the back of the wall, or why is the spout to the left or the right? Why is the sink bone dry? Well, you know, well, And that's how you get them. That's how you get them. And then they got another trick. Now, I've never done this. But they got a trick to where, you know, you got, like, people, you know, they want to go on your medicine cabinet. Now, they got tricked where they put, like, marbles in the cabinet, and you open it up, and all the marbles fall in the sink. You know, you said you're going to use the bathroom, not go in my medicine cabinet.
Just little trick. That's good.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, man.
Wow, that is funny. Wolfgang, you've been quiet, mister.
Come on, Wolfgang, jump in here. You've been quiet today. Jump in here. You need a percolator? Another percolator for the house for a good Christmas gift?
No, just trying to be patient and let you guys talk. But first off, my takeaway, you were talking about the Hebrew boys when they were put in the fire, and then later you were talking about the firemen, how, you know, they go in the houses. Well, you could think of the three Hebrew boys as the first kind of firemen. They went in there, but they didn't have no hose.
He be saying some good ones.
Yeah, they didn't have no hose, but they went in the fire.
Wow. Yes, sir. They went in. They went in, had fellowship with the Son of Man, and they came out as heroes to a nation.
Yep. But I've been waiting for the bloodhound to see who's going to get that today.
All right.
Oh.
Took the roof? Come on with it.
Okay, you guys will like this because it's real easy. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue.
Yeah, that was an easy one.
Let brotherly love continue. What?
It was so short.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's in the book of God's chosen people, add one more tribe. The half tribe of Manasseh, and that's where it's found at.
I'm gonna let the scholars take this one. I'm not even gonna attempt.
There's no book called Israelites, so, and there's no book called Jews.
I'll give you guys a hint. It's something that guys should be doing, making coffee.
Yeah.
Hebrew.
You said it earlier. It's something that the percolator does.
Oh, Hebrews. Hebrews. All right, I like that. I like that.
If you add one to the leadership, how many tribes was there? How many brothers was there?
Brothers?
The tribe of Israelite, how many tribes were there? I make it easy. How many months out of the year?
12.
Add one.
13. Hebrews 13. Chapter 13.
Right there where you at. Start reading.
Right there. That's it. All right.
10 and 1.
13 and 1. Amen.
That's right, guys. Beautiful job. Somebody will get the Christmas turkey. Let's see.
I don't want no more turkey.
A Christmas turkey? Okay, let's see.
No.
No Christmas turkey.
Okay. No turkey. I don't want to see no more turkey.
My turkeys are legendary. So I love doing the bird.
Have you ever made a fried turkey?
No, I don't do
fried
turkey.
No, but I've made turkey enough to get tired of it sometimes, but I do make it, sometimes make ham. My grandmother, now she made a stew, like, or, you know, kind of like a bunch of roast meat, and we just sat and ate it with bread.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we don't do traditional turkey until I married this good-looking husband. Then I started making turkey.
All right, well, Ruth, come on. Give them what they got to have for next week so they can. This is a little bit longer.
Okay, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fatness, or fathers. My goodness, that's a tough
one. One more time, Ruth.
Yeah, one more time.
All right, if thy brother, the sons of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers.
That's going to be a challenge.
You got the scholar saying, huh? I ain't even going to attempt it.
Man, I'm a student, Doc. I'm just a student, eh?
I'll give you this much a hint when you're looking for it. The context is telling you that if they did give you, if they enticed you, you were supposed to take them outside the city with the elders of the city and give them a rock concert in their honor. And I don't mean Led Zeppelin.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
It's in the Torah because it deals with judgment. So I know it's in the Torah.
Right, but I'm not telling you where. It's in the Bible between Genesis and Revelation.
Between Genesis and
Revelation.
We're
not going to a rock concert.
Genesis and Revelation, the whole Bible.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be throwing stones. It ain't the Rolling Stones. So this ain't no rock concert. It's like somebody going to be getting hit. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was the teaching. They came up under very strict rules because they were so institutionalized to the way of the Egyptian, to these commandments had to be harsh to break all of those generational curses that had fell upon them and community curse. That was a part of their lives because they kept doing the things that the
they say thou shalt not kill. They say thou shalt not kill. That's one of the Ten Commandments. So they going against the Ten Commandments.
If you practice witchcraft or if you committed acts of that was considered evil in the camp, and you had to get rid of evil. So to get rid of evil. Mean that evil had to die. It was a capital punishment. So just like...
How do you know it was witchcraft in the Bible?
Yes, a lot of it. But capital punishment...
When they made mention of it? I don't remember hearing no mention of that.
All through it. Well, let me back up for you. Everything that deals with idols, them serving idols, comes up under... a level of witchcraft. There was one demonic lady, uh, saw the apostles preaching the gospel and was following her, following them and saying, these are the holy men of God. And she was marking them. She was just saying they were holy men of God. She was doing it as a nuisance. They turned around and rebuked her and cast the devil out of her. And the men that she worked for got mad and took them to court to try to sue them for causing them to lose the money that she was making them from a soothsaying because she couldn't do it no more. So, yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on in the Bible.
Hey. Okay.
Yeah, so there was a lot of witchcraft. There was a lot of witchcraft that in the Bible. Again, witchcraft, you know, we are westernized and we're westernized, and so we don't realize that you don't have to have a pointed cap to be a witch. You have some naturalists that study the arts of a white witch. They think it's a good witch, but it's still witch. They work herbs and stuff like that. So you got stuff like that going on now, wickedness and different people of that nature. So all of this stuff stems back from serving false gods.
And Pastor Bonnie, it wasn't only witchcraft that you could get capital punishment for. If you were a rebellious son, you got to write constant in your honor too. And we're not talking AC/DC.
So that when the Bible says, "Tell the children, obey your parents, for this is the first commandment with promise." That your days upon the land that thou dwell shall be long. And so if the father had died, my site actually was mentioned more than once, it deals with the woman has her son, but if a son become unruly that he don't listen to neither his mother or his father, their job was to go, the elders of each community always was at the gate of the community. They handled public affairs, just like we have City Hall. Okay, so they handled the affairs. So their job was, as parents, was to go to the elders of their community and report the matter. And the elders would come and address the matter. And if they seen that child not respecting their parents, they would take the child outside of the city as a representative. To be an example to other children that this is what happens when you disobey your parents, when you curse your parents, and they killed them. And it was a capital punishment. They got stoned to death. There's a lot of stuff that there was a lot of death in the Old Testament.
Also, another thing, and I like this myself, I wish they'd had this punishment even today. Rapists, if they were caught raping a woman, they got a rock concert too.
Yeah. They have other stipulations with the rapists. The rapists had to, if the father of the young lady was alive, he could accept the dowry for her. The diary was like more than a year's away. In other words, it had to take care of her to provide for her because she became she wasn't allowed to marry as a virgin no more because he took that virginity. One of the things of the Israelites, one of the pride of Israelites women was to marry as a virgin. Something that America has nothing in connection to. As a matter of fact, now they're telling you to test the waters, which is a farce and a lie, because how can you know a difference if you never had a difference? If you never had it, then there's nothing to compare it with. So if you're a virgin and your husband and if a male is you a virgin and the woman is a virgin, when y'all come together, y'all don't know no, there is no comparison. So y'all the best thing ever. That's why he tells us to wait. But we hard-headed. We want to do what we want to do. So we want to touch this and taste, you know, we want to do this and that. And so now we have soul ties and don't even know why certain things follow us and plague us, because every time you have intercourse with someone, part of their spirit is left lingering with you. These are soul ties. And so a lot of people deal with stuff that they don't even know why they're dealing with it. And it's because of a relationship that you start that was illegitimate.
And that's a
study, yeah. So anyway, that goes on again. What rebellion was, the spirit of witchcraft. God dealt with that. There's a lot of things that to be strictly had to be dealt with harshly because of their constant idolatry. Serving idol gods, and what we don't realize, anything and anyone that you will put before God is an idol. Hold on a second. How do you get rid of soul ties, or can you? And you break soul ties are broken through, number one, in your fasting and praying, as the Spirit of the Lord revealed to you the hitchhiking spirit that's attached to your life. You have to renounce it. And if you don't renounce it, then you have given it right to linger there. The Bible says, know ye not that your body is just the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so as born-again believers, our vessels are for the Holy Spirit. But when we grieve the Holy Spirit through our non-proper fellowship, we allow hitchhiking spirits to come into our boat. That's why even Christians won't be possessed, but they can have addictions and things that need to be broken off their life because of their unwillingness to renounce certain spirits. And so the Bible said when a spirit is cast out, he roams around in dry places seeking for a new temple. So when you receive a deliverance, and we know this because Jesus went to the woman that he delivered, and he told her, she said, stop sinning, or a worse thing can come upon you. In other words, he done gave her her deliverance, feed her deliverance. Then she was made whole of her infirmity. He told her if she didn't stop sinning, that a worse situation would take place. So that's why when we see people hit what we call rock bottom, that's because they kept rejecting truth. And when you keep rejecting truth, you leave yourself open and vulnerable for all manner of attacks against you. And because the enemy is trying to get you to do one thing and one thing only, to renounce Christ.
Amen.
Also, I'd like to put a little plug in for a show that we're going to be doing on the Jumbo Braille program, and it looks like it's slated for the 31st. It's going to be a three-part series. Pastor Bonnet, you've heard of P.P. Bliss, haven't you?
I think so.
The songwriter who did It Is Well With My Soul?
Yeah. That's what I heard it from.
Okay. Well, he passed away in the great train disaster of Ashtabula County called the Ashtabula Horror. That happened 145 years ago, December 29th, 1886. And we're going to be doing a study on that, and it's going to be a three-part series.
All right.
and we're going to discuss what happened during that train disaster, what caused it, because it was a bridge that collapsed, and the train fell down into what we call the Ashtonville Gulf. 76 feet, the train fell down into this gulf and caught fire and stuff, and we're going to discuss the whole thing and explain exactly what happened, and because of the nature of what we'll be discussing, we're going to even have a disclaimer on this one that people that have sensitive ears and little kitties are going to have to be elsewhere because it's going to have that kind of nature of things that we're going to be talking about.
Okay.
So December 31st, the first Jumbo Braille program that we're going to start with that one, on December 31st, we're going to do that one. And then 2 weeks after that, we're going to be doing, talking about the Ashtonville Horror.
And anybody who listens to it better have a box of tissue because it's actually very graphic.
Okay. Well, we look forward to joining you, Ken, on the Jumbo Braille program right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. And that will be on Thursday, that Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Amen. So we look forward to that with your missionary Ken on the Jumbo Braille program here on the 6 Hours Radio Network. Amen. Truly, we have had a wonderful time. Sister Ruth read for us in the beginning. Many may not remember, but she read from us from the book of Job. I would encourage our listeners. She read the first 12 verses of chapter 1 of the book of Job. Read the first 3 or 4 chapters of Job. It really teaches you to have some stick-to-itiveness, some fortitude, some good character about yourself, to be committed to God, because Job started out well. And although eventually he got back on the right track at the very end there, but God had to check his attitude. And a lot of times we can allow others to cause our attitude to get out of right standing with the Lord. And God has to remind us that he created this world. He the one that put the sun in the sky, the stars in the heavens. And we was nowhere around. So he didn't need us for counseling then. He don't need us for counseling now. So he is our counselor.
Amen.
And so Job is it's a long book. But one of the things I like about Job, Brother Six, and here's it bears record of a historical fact about that he describes the woolly mammoth. A lot of people wonder whether or not that was a fictional character, a fictional animal or not. And the woolly mammoth is a actual animal that existed at one time or another in nature. And it in the book of Job, he describes the woolly mammoth.
If you would, before we get out of here, that box in the studio, you want to check that Facebook box and share this show on your page, my page. And we're going to ask you to go to your podcast portion on your cell phone, be it you have Android or iPhone. And when you go to search, you type in Six Eyes Radio. That's SIXEYES Radio, R-A-D-I-O. And in the top right corner, press subscribe and share the show with your friends. We're going to do this here on out, sharing this show to be available right after the broadcast for your enjoyment. Once again, happy holidays from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Continue to wear your mask, wash your hands, practice social distancing as we deal with this new variant. Omicron, not unicorn, but Omicron. So continue to use your hand sanitizer, wiping down your house, your doorknobs, your cell phones with Lysol. Put a cap of bleach in your water, microband. You know, just keep your house and yourself sanitized. Amen. We care about you at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Once again, happy holidays. I'm cutting out. God bless, and catch you tomorrow for Motivational Monday with our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Put this number in your phone, 424-243-9617. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, night, whatever part of the world that we're in, because we're in several countries. So whether it be night, morning, noon, afternoon, enjoy the rest of it. God bless, and it is our prayer that you came feeling better than when you came. Take care.
Amen. God bless.
God bless.
God bless everyone.
God bless.
Everything will be alright. It makes me wanna say thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all the love this woman gives to me. She gives me something to believe. Tomorrow, but today I want